Christos Ekklesia. Christos Ekklesia. Christ's church. Christ's church committed. It's our first Sunday. Christ's church equipped. That was last Sunday. And Christ's church together. I'd like to review a scripture. We'll just review the whole sermon. Scripture from last week was Acts 2:42. And this is our glimpse of the very beginning of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and that was what we talked about last week, the equipping process of it all. And they and to fellowship, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is fellowship. And to the breaking of bread, which we just participated in, and to prayer, which we also participated in already this morning. So fellowship, that's what we're going to be focusing on today, fellowship, being together. Fellowship is not a potluck meal or a picnic. Fellowship is not church game night or church movie night. Fellowship is not snow tubing or going to the Reds Faith Day. And these are great events, and we enjoy them, and we enjoy being together, and it's good to be together. It's good to laugh together. It's good to have fun together. It's good to enjoy each other. But we call those events fellowship, and we've started to define that. And I'm completely guilty of this as well. I'm not doing anything that I'm not involved in there. I've called those fellowship events because that's common language, you know, for the church. You know, you do a fellowship event. But I'm afraid that what we've done is we've stripped that word of the depth that it really has, and we've settled for something that's not really fellowship. Those events are kind of, I don't know, fellowship seeds, but you'd never see them called that, would you? If we were going to correctly call it, it'd be fellowship seeding events. That we were going to have a fellowship seeding potluck meal. That's huge as far as the title, and it just sounds weird. You're just like, okay, are we planting? Are we eating food? Are we're going to plant it and wait for it to grow and then eat it? Because that's going to be a long fellowship meal. But so that would be more correctly what it is, because what events like that are for is the beginning of fellowship. They open the door for fellowship. They're the front door to fellowship. They plant the seed for real fellowship to follow, for fellowship to grow out of that. Fellowship is not just that event. That event is supposed to be the catalyst for fellowship that happens, real fellowship that follows. Those events provide an environment for fellowship to start so that we can have relationships that will grow deeper than just sharing a deviled egg together. Or sweet tea, because that's not just, those things are not just fellowship by themselves. They're fellowship open doors, front doors. Times when we see fellowship activated. Times when we see fellowship begin, pre-fellowship events. You know, whatever, however we want to try to describe that in our own mind, to translate when we see fellowship event, which we'll still be using the verbiage because that communicates, this is an event where we all get together. But from here on out, I want every one of us to see that word and say, that's just the beginning. That's just where it starts. This event opens the door. We can't just go to an event. We can't just go snow tubing and then check that off our list of Acts 2:42. You know, well, we fellowshiped this week. Check. You know, we had a church potluck meal or we had church, you know, a church picnic. Check. We did our fellowship. Now we can have our apostles' teaching, or which is expanded to what we talked about last week in Ephesians. See, fellowship is so much more than just enjoying each other. Enjoying each other is part of it. That's the beginning of it. Getting to know each other, laughing together, having fun times together. But that's to grow into something deeper. It's a starter. It's kind of like a fire starter that many of us have used. You know, you put little fire starters underneath the charcoal in your grill. Or you put a fire starter in your fireplace. Those of you guys who still use the wood fireplace and not the ones that you just... You know, the gas fireplaces. But you put it, and when you go camping, you put a little fire starter on there and start. The fire starter is not the fire. You can't cook on a little fire starter. But when the fire starter ignites the coal, now you got something you can cook with. You can't get warm at a campfire when the temperature's dropped to 50, 40 degrees with a little fire starter. That's not going to do any good. But that fire starter, when it ignites the wood, ooh, now we have a fire. Now we have something that's doing good. And we need to start viewing fellowship events as a little fire starter. It's just where it begins. The real fire is what comes after. The real fellowship is what follows that event. Fellowship is not just an event, it's a lifestyle. Let's write this down along those lines, just a little more expanded. Fellowship is not just time together, it's effective relationships at work. It's not just time together. It's not just, you know, sitting down at a potluck or sitting down at a picnic or going snow tubing together. Those are great. I love them. I participate in them. I'm really looking forward to church movie nights as that stretches out into many. But the real fellowship is when we have relationships, and those relationships are working together to build something, to make something, to build into and build up and strengthen and encourage Christ's church, Christos Ekklesia. John starts his very first chapter, very first verse in his first letter, 1 John 1:1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared," talking about Jesus. And we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have what? Fellowship with us. We saw Jesus. We witnessed him. We touched him. We heard him. So that you could go snow tubing together. It doesn't fit, does it? It's not so that you can have, you know, guess who's coming to dinner together? Great event. Lots of participation. But that's where it starts. That's where it moves. In that fellowship time. And at our fellowship event, I wasn't at the table when they discussed about Charlie's surgery coming up. I saw it in the bulletin when I was here on Saturday, yesterday. And when I went home, I asked Jesse, I said, "Did you know anything about this?" She said, "Yeah, we talked about that at the table when you were gone. He's having an angiogram on Thursday." I said, "Oh, that's a big deal." See, if you talk about those things that guess who's coming to dinner and you just leave it there, you've kind of robbed fellowship of what fellowship is. In those conversations you just had Friday night, move on those, act on those, do things with those. Those were at, you know, Kurt and Sherry's house that were around the table and heard about that. Give them a call Wednesday night. Send them a card this week. If he has a stent put in, he's going to be staying until Friday. Go visit him in the hospital. That's not just for people, you know, that are paid staff members. You can go too. A lot of you do. A lot of you have. Let's expand that. Let's take fellowship from an event to relationships, working together. We saw Jesus, we heard about him, and we've shared this with you so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light just as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, the Son, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Our fellowship with each other, it's modeled after our fellowship with God through his Son. We have fellowship with the Father, and that fellowship is how we model our fellowship with each other. Yes, I laugh with God. Yes, I have a fun time with God. There's so much more to that relationship than just fun times, than just deviled eggs and sweet tea. My relationship with God has a lot of depth, and that's what we model our fellowship after, is that relationship that we have with God. Our fellowship with God is the same fellowship that we have with each other, the same type of fellowship that we have with each other. We connect to each other. Walking in the light helps us to be able to connect with God. But walking in the light also should help us to be able to connect with each other and to fellowship with each other. Our fellowship, these effective relationships at work, they should produce growth in us. Growth as Christ's church. I've got a little illustration here to kind of walk us through some things. A pot. And what do we do Make sure I'm not spilling things there. We get what? Potting soil. Say a quick prayer, all right? Well, I'll loosen that up. It'll come out in one big clump. It was loose. Monta's really nervous right now. Get the vacuum cleaner ready. Oh, no. Get it nice. Lots of soil. Gotta get lots of soil in there. There we go. So what else do you do? We'll set that. What? We'll see it. Okay, that we're going to provide that. We're going to assume that that's a God thing. Okay? What's the other thing? What do you do with the seed and the soil? You water it. Yeah. So we get a little bit of water here. Put a little bit of water in there. Do. Make sure that's not going to go out of my little dish there. What else do you do? You get some fertilizer. There we go. Switch a little bit. Never hurts. There we go. That should be enough. That should be good. What? What's that? What? Patty, what is that over there behind you? You guys, no one sees that? Oh, look at there. We got some nice little Easter lilies here in our plant. I didn't know I was going to pull that off, so. But the sun comes out and provides energy, and it grows. That's the goal, right? I mean, some of you have black thumbs, and that never happens. But those of you who have been blessed with the green thumbs, that's what happens. That's the goal. That's what you want. So let's take this illustration. We're going to build the message out of this illustration here of the soil and the water and the fertilizer and the light that provides growth. And we're going to walk through some scriptures here. And I'm not going to have any more scriptures on the screen because we're going to be boom, 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 boom with some notes. And so we're just going to be writing notes while I'm reading scripture along with that. So let's go back to the soil, the very beginning of that. We poured soil in there ever so carefully. Soil, connectivity promoted through an environment of, and we're going to build some of these things here. So we're going to talk about the soil. Soil is connectivity promoted through an environment of love. Our soil is an environment of love. Many, many scriptures about this. Just one of them right there in the same book we started in. 1 John chapter 3 says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should," what? "Love one another." We should love one another. And in another scripture it says, "They will know us by our love." We are to love each other. And I tell you what, any of us have been in a church any amount of time, you know that's a lot easier said than done. I mean, to be truthful, to be honest with each other, that is. Love's not easy. Love's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. And when I'm talking with soon-to-be husbands in my office, in our premarital sessions, and we work through Ephesians chapter 5, I tell the husband, you don't love your wife because she deserves it. You don't love your wife because she's earned it. Because there will be some times, and I don't want too many amens for the men. You know, you can kind of whisper some amens. There'll be some times when she's not lovable. When she doesn't deserve it. When she hasn't earned it. But I instruct husbands, soon to be husbands, that in Ephesians 5, you love your wife not because of anything she's done. You love your wife because God told you to love your wife. And that's why you love your wife. And the same is true, church, for us. We don't love each other because we've deserved it or earned it. Because we don't. And we won't. We love each other, church, because God commanded it. Because God said, this is how my church will treat each other. They will love each other. And they will love each other with the same love that I've had for them. They love each other like that. That's what God desires for us. That we would have that love for each other. And that's the environment that we need to create. That's the soil, is that kind of love in this group. That's what fellowship is. It's building that kind of love. Something else in the soil there is soil, that's the connectivity promoted through an environment of compassion. Compassion. We rejoice and we weep together. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. See, along with loving each other, setting an environment where we share in each other's joy and we share in each other's sorrow. You know, when I shared about passing my second degree black belt test, that was a joy for me. It was an exciting event for me. And I got an email. I don't remember who, where, whatever. You know, we actually have dealt with it and moved on. Everything's fine there. So this is not a dig on, so whoever that was, I forgot who it was. But they sent an email that was against me sharing that you shouldn't have shared that in church. That was a joy for me. Taekwondo doesn't have to be important to you. You don't have to care about Taekwondo to care about me. Right? You share a lot of things with me that really I don't care about certain subjects. They're not things I'm passionate about. They're not something I enjoy. But I tell you what, if you come to me and you're excited about something, I'm going to be excited with you. Or I'm going to do everything I can to be excited with you. I've never crocheted a thing in my life, but you're excited about this. So I'm going to be excited about that with you. You see how that works? And that's together. That's all of us. That's fellowship. That's the soil. That's the environment that it takes to grow things out of. If we don't have that, what are we going to have? We share in each other's joy. We share in each other's sorrow. We have compassion for each other. Someone comes to you and they're hurting and they're sad and we hurt for each other. So we share in the joy and we share in the sorrow, and that's the soil. That's compassion. Soil, connectivity promoted through an environment of grace, forgiving each other. Ephesians 4 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Church, just like we were talking about a few minutes ago, we're not perfect. We're not going to always deserve, we're not going to earn each other's love. And what comes from that are the times when we do the opposite of that. We earn each other's, you know, disdain. We earn each other's disgust or you know, frustration. We earn that. There are things that I'm going to do. There are things that you're going to do. We're going to hurt each other. I don't go out to do that. I don't purposefully go out to do that. But that's going to happen in a group of people like this when you get to know each other and fellowship is more than just you know, a potluck or snow tubing or a movie night, and you really get to know people. That soil is going to involve hurt. It's going to involve times when we let each other down, when we know all about Charlie's surgery and we forget to show up, or we forget to send a card, or we forget to call. I had that moment with Sherry's grandmother. It had been a long time. She had been suffering, and I'd been praying for her and praying through that, and she'd sent me text updates, and she shared with me about that, that my grandmother finally passed. And then the date of the funeral was set, and it didn't make it to my calendar. And so Thursday morning when I woke up, I thought, I've got a funeral to go to today. And I realized it was Wednesday. I was like, oh. So I called Sherry. And she said, well, we kind of thought we'd see you, and you didn't. And we've got a great relationship. So she was super forgiving, full of grace. But I knew I let her down. I knew I disappointed them. And they're close. They're friends of ours. And I would have been there I'd have been there for someone I don't even like, but someone that I'm close with. And I wasn't there. That should not have happened, but it did. And I let her down. And I tell you what, that soil that she brought to that conversation was full of grace. She was honest. It was love. It was truth and grace. It was, you know, we kind of thought we'd see you, but we thought something maybe came up, and that's fine. We understand. That friends, that's the soil. That's the environment that builds real fellowship is grace. So we build that connectivity promoted through an environment of love and compassion and of grace. And then we add the fertilizer and the water. We added the water and the fertilizer into the soil there. And those are life-giving nutrients. Life-giving nutrients. So you have your base, you have your foundation, you have your environment. And then you got to add to that things that are going to bring life, life-giving nutrients. What are those things in our life? One is instruction. We bring the life-giving nutrient of instruction to each other. Paul says in Romans 15, he says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. So we teach each other. This isn't just something that happens from whoever's sharing the sermon on a Sunday or whoever your Sunday school teacher is or your small group teacher is. Church fellowship, being together, means that we're instructing each other. That needs to happen. And we need to be comfortable enough to add those life-giving nutrients to our life. We're not going to grow if all the instruction we're getting is one time a Sunday or for maybe two people on a Sunday. Maybe you went to Joe's class. Joe's moved seats. Where's Joe? There he is. Behind there, he's hiding. You go to Joe's class and you come in here to the message, and then we're all to teach each other. We're all to instruct each other. Paul's writing to Rome, the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 15, he's writing to a church he had never been to. And even still, he says, I'm confident in this. I'm confident that you guys know enough in your relationship with God, in your understanding of God, in your little life journey that you've had so far, I'm confident that you know enough to instruct each other. Church, we need to take our experiences with God, what we've learned from His Scripture, what we've learned from the Holy Spirit, what we've learned from our experiences with God, and share them and instruct each other. And don't be bashful about that. If we don't speak into each other's lives, there are a lot of other voices that will speak into our lives. And I tell you what, those voices are not from God's word. Our voice should be. That's our source of instruction, is God's word, God's word. And so we share. That's a life-giving nutrient. We have the fertilizer and water, and ooh, this is a tough one. Trust, disclosure, and accountability. You can get a writing cramp from that. Trust, disclosure, and accountability. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is a tough one, church. But we need it. When your base, when your soil, when your foundation, when your environment is that of love and of compassion and of grace, then that's going to be welcoming to the life-giving water and life-giving nutrients of fertilization through us being able to trust each other and to be able to share things with each other, to confess our sins with each other. And that's a scary thing to do. That's a scary place to be. And if you have someone that you're close enough with that you can share those things with, you are a blessed person. Because we need that, church. We need it so bad. I mean, you talk about, you know, wilty flowers. We got them all around us. And it's because we've got a lot of Christians that are struggling in isolation over a sin that's damaging different parts of their life, and they have no one that they trust enough that they can go to. That's what the church is for. That's what going down a snowy hill, linked together in snow tubes, should lead to. And I'm not saying by the time you make it to the bottom of the hill, you're confessing some sin that you've got. But that's where it starts. That's where it starts. We start with those events. And if you don't come to those events, then you're going to miss out on the fire starters. But those of us who have done the events, don't let it stop there. Nurture those relationships. Cultivate those relationships. And share the life-giving nutrients of being able to be trusted and know that you're going to keep your mouth shut when someone shares something with you that's private and personal. And you provide for them a place in an area where they can disclose things, where they can share things. And then you can provide accountability back. You can give them a call a week later. Hey, how are you doing with that? Because I guarantee you, everyone in this room, we've got something that we struggle with. And I would say a large percentage, a large majority of those that are struggling, struggle in complete isolation. And we're talking sin. what causes death. We're talking about sins that will affect their relationship with their spouse, and they're struggling all by themselves with that. Sins that reflect and they affect their relationship with their children, or the children's relationship with their parents, and they're struggling in silence there with no one they can turn to because the church has not gotten to that level of fellowship that we really need to be at. Sins that break down our physical health, and they hurt us physically. And people are struggling. We need that life-giving nutrients of trust. Because every sin, if it's a sin that's destruction to your family, or sin that's killing your physical health, or a sin that's threatening your occupation, your career, dishonesty at work, lying, making things up, embezzling money, whatever sin it is, all of those sins, the full effect of that sin is that it's hurting our relationship with God. And church, that should be a high priority for us. Not, ooh, did you hear what this person's doing, or did this person, no. The priority is not sharing it. The priority is not, blabbing about it. The priority is, let's all be the best we can be for God's kingdom. And that involves that nutrient of trust and disclosure and accountability. Let me read that passage again, because there's another piece of that that we're going to take a note on. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So this fertilizer and water, these life-giving nutrients, the life-giving nutrient of prayer. And we do this, but you can never do this too much. You can never do this too much. I try to remember. And I remember you in prayer more than I remember to tell you that I'm praying for you. I through that whole situation, I was praying for Sherry. That was honest. That was real. And I forgot I didn't show up at the funeral. But I was praying for her in times when she never knew I was praying for her, but I was praying for her. Looking down here, we had Caitlin. She's like, uh-oh. I have a little card with a little cross attached to it, and I can still give it to you, but I was going to send that to you. And we were, my family, she was our babysitter for a summer, and we were going to call you on your birthday. And we didn't do that. And then we were going to send you this card, and I didn't do that either. But Caitlin, and I know that you felt it because it was from other people, not just me, but I was praying for you. Through your basic training and through being separated from your parents and through that whole situation of trying to get into the program that you signed up for, and they told you, no, you can't do that, and said, no, this is where I'm signed up and I'm going to go here. No, you got to turn this. And so I was praying for you through all that. And that happened. So we pray for each other. It helps when you let people know you're praying for them. But we pray for each other. And that's life-giving nutrients. And last we get to the sun. The sun comes out and the sun brings energy. These little leaves, these don't do anything because they're fake, just in case you didn't know. But leaves in a real, here we go, that's not standing up very straight. There. But leaves in a real plant, they photosynthesize. They take the sun's light and they convert that into energy. And that produces growth. So the energy supplying fuel, walking in the ways of light, isn't that what John said in the passage we read at the very beginning? That if we walk in the ways of light, we will have fellowship with each other. We walk in the ways of light. We walk in the same way that God walks. We walk in his light. Just as he walks in the light, we also walk in the light, and we have fellowship with each other. Jesus was the light of the world, and while he was here, he said, you're going to be the light of the world. You're going to let your good deeds shine before men so they may praise your Father in heaven. That's for outsiders, and it's also for insiders. It's also for each other. What good deeds can we do for each other? How can we be the light to shine on all of these great plants that are growing up? A couple of real quick things. We can encourage. Encouraging growth. Light, energy supplying fuel of encouraging growth. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So if you're doing it, keep it up. If you're not, start it. We've talked about this a lot, so I'm going to keep moving on that. Light, energy supplying fuel of motivating action. to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, we talked about this a few weeks ago. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. There's that word again, so there's both of them in that passage. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so we bring energy supplying fuel of encouraging growth and of motivating action. And that should come from within, church. That should come from each of us, all of us. We should all be lifting each other up, encouraging each other. You can do it. Do that thing. What has God put on your heart? Do that. What can I do to help you out with that? Do you need some accountability with keeping you faithful to what God's called you to do? And sometimes accountability is not just all sin-based. Sometimes accountability is following the call-based. How can I motivate you? This word spur, it's actually a very aggressive word. It would be like the spurs that you see on in the old John Wayne movies, you know? On the little spindles, yeah, the Chinese stars attached to the cowboy boots. You know what I'm talking about, yes? That idea, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's aggressive. It's an aggressive action to motivate each other on. To do what we need to do as Jesus' church. One last note here, it's a big one. Successful fellowship, how do we measure this? Successful fellowship is not measured in smiles and warm fuzzies among friends. I'm not trashing those. Those are great. We need those, but that's kind of the entry level. Real fellowship, successful fellowship is measured by better, more productive disciples. Fellowship should be taking us to the next level. Fellowship should be providing growth. Fellowship should be producing better and more productive disciples. It's not just a time together. It's effective relationships at work. It's laying a soil base, an environment that is just rich in love and compassion and grace where we're forgiving each other. And then being able to add in the water and the fertilizer that bring the nutrients, life-giving nutrients to our life. Being able to trust each other enough to share things and to have accountability. Know that we're going to be praying for each other. Having those life-giving nutrients of instruction and teaching each other. And then last, being the light, being the sun. I mean, God's the ultimate source of light, but we walk in the light also. And when we walk in the light, that makes our fellowship happen. And so we are a light source. We bring this energy-giving source of fuel through encouraging each other and motivating each other. Christos Iglesia, Christ Church together.